the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site, the covers, of course, here Arizona Cardinals. In our second show of the week, episode 514, Seth Cox, my co-host from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, the SB Nation Arizona Cardinals site, is with me to talk about this. It's a Super Bowl-centric show, but we're talking the Super Bowl and the Cardinals, but not the Cardinals in the Super Bowl. And then, of course, it's everyone's favorite part. This is where we do our picks preview and our picks, predictions, and props, right? Seth, there's not much going on in the Cardinals world right now. There's nothing because there's nothing on the Buda Baker front. There's a couple of, there's a couple of interviews on, PHNX with Trey McBride and James Conner. But Cardinals news right now, which, in fairness, isn't that kind of nice because we don't have content-wise it stinks, but fan-wise we don't have a coaching search, we don't have any scandal, we don't have yet any contract disputes. Those are coming.
And you know, just within the last hour, I'm not even sure if you saw it, we don't have any players getting arrested.
That's right.
So, obviously knock on wood on that. And we're not making light of anything. We're just being honest.
It's content we don't like. We like writing about football. We really dislike writing and talking about non-football stuff off the field. Speeding tickets, domestic issues, firings because of groping women in Mexico. None of that's enjoyable to write about. DUIs, they're clicks, but they're not the clicks that we want. And we don't, because we're also you guys know, we're fans of this team. We've been fans of this team for a long time. As long as I followed the NFL, dating back to about 1989, 1990, the Cardinals have been my team. And I know Seth is significantly younger, though that the significance now is he's nearing 40. That significance seems a little less every single year.
Right. And it's just that thing, we're in that lull time where, you can only run through so many mock drafts and it's not that we don't.
And we want to save those because we're going to get mock draft fatigue so fast.
Yeah. And it's not that we don't enjoy doing them, but you can only post so many. I mean,
This guy's got a mock draft. Yeah. Hey, it's going to be very soon. I think right about the time I'm about to start with my weekly mock draft simulations. I think I'm going to go three rounds for now until they announce comp picks and we get the official stuff. I'll do three rounds with the six picks, and then that's a weekly thing I do. I try to play out different scenarios. But that's not what we're talking about on this show. This is about the Super Bowl, and we're going to take two little looks at the Super Bowl. Obviously, we're going to look at our picks and props that we like in this game. You can see some of the stuff I'll be writing for Sportsbook Wire. I wrote specifically Marquez Valdes-Scantling, the props on him, way to go. I have a couple more coming for Sportsbook Wire later today. I should be getting those. Will probably be published on Friday. But we're going to take a look Cardinals with a Cardinals lens on the two teams in the Super Bowl, specifically on some free agents or scheduled free agents. They're not technically free agents yet. They're scheduled to be free agents come next month, both on the 49ers and the Chiefs. And we're going to talk about guys that we like as potential fits for the Cardinals. And as you can imagine, they're probably mostly defense. So let's look at the 49ers first, obviously. And we can pull up the good old SpotTrack, free agent things. And there's a list. There's a long list of guys that are going to be off contract. Lots of guys you don't care about. Going down to, Logan Ryan, who's now nearly 33 years old, Sam Darnold as a backup quarterback. Now he's still, holy cow, he is still young, but They're not going to be in the market from what we understand. It doesn't look like they're going to be in the market for a significant backup quarterback, because I think they like Clayton Tune enough for that. Jonathan Gannon said as much in a press conference late in the season, but we'll see with that. So, Seth, who would be one of your top scheduled free agents for the 49ers that you think would fit here in Arizona?
I think there's kind of a universal one, and I actually text my buddy that works with the 49ers, and the first one is Javon Kinlaw. He'll be 27. He'll turn 27 in October, so still young. And when you look at it, you can get him probably on the cheap, and that's what I text my buddy about, because I'm like, because that contract that you're seeing from SpotTrack, their market value is just above or just below $6 million. The 49ers are going to be in a interesting dynamic with what they need to do financially. And so, you know, I asked, would he be a priority? Like, and the response was they love him. You know, obviously turned it on this year, had a great year. You always get worried about contract years, blah, blah, blah. But the response was they love him. They'd love to have him back on a one-year prove-it deal. So if you're the Cardinals, if you're looking at that, Javon Kinlaw, 6'5", 316-pound interior defensive lineman.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing. When he came out of college, if you remember when we talked about him for in the draft, because he was a guy that you liked because of his pass rushing potential. The knees have been an issue. He's got paper knees. Maybe those have hardened up a little bit, but he would be a good fit. So if the 49ers are going to bring him back on a one-year deal, wouldn't it be worth to throw the 2 years, $8 to $11 million, as a former first round pick with some juice, and that way you know that there's some downside with injuries, and the Cardinals seem to get bit every single time they get a guy that has an injury history at all, but still there's that upside.
Yeah, and I think if you did a 2 year, you know, even a $12 million with, you know, 1 year fully guaranteed, basically guaranteeing that injury situation as you're talking about, you know, and so that second year is basically, if you, you know, and you can put guarantees in there like, hey, if you make it through year one, you know, play X amount of snaps, blah, 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 you know, a portion gets guaranteed going into year two, things like that. Because that's the thing is, like, he's going to have to make a decision. His decision is going to be either I stay with San Francisco as they, you know, make decisions on guys like Chase Young, Brock Purdy in a couple years, and knowing that I'm not a priority.
Right.
Or do I get myself into a situation where, you know, in Arizona where I'm going to be the guy, you know, there's going to be some
by a long shot, the most talented player in that group.
Right. And going to have a little bit more of a chance to display what I can do. And if you do that, all of a sudden, you know, you have a good season, you can get an extension. If you have a good season, then that year two becomes, oh, you know, and you know, it's just kind of even better. And then you're still only 28 years old when you hit free agency. That 3 to 4 year deal is on the table. I would assume something like 3 years after that, because we just saw, you know, fellow 49er Javon Hargrave sign a massive, massive deal last year with the 49ers. And his, you know, you mentioned Kinlaw, his player arc is kind of similar to what Hargrave did. You know, Hargrave, his first 2 years in Pittsburgh, not necessarily from the injury standpoint, but from the production standpoint, but his first 2 years in Pittsburgh were less than impressive. I mean, slightly underwhelming. Now the difference was he was a third round pick as opposed to a top.
But the guy that was replacing DeForest Buckner. Yeah. That was part of the problem for the 49ers, is the fact is they traded away DeForest Buckner and decided to draft Kinlaw to replace him. And that didn't work out real well.
Right. And with that pick. So not even like to Jess's point, not even like it was a replacement. It was literally the pick they got for DeForest Buckner. It's like, here's your replacement. So, you know, and Kinlaw was 30 last year. So, and he got a, like I said, he got a massive deal
from
Sanford, or sorry. Sorry. Hargrave got a massive deal from San Francisco. So you can look at it and look at the same sort of career arc. You know, Hargrave took a 3-year deal in Philly back in 2020. Wasn't anything extravagant. Wasn't like, you know, he broke the bank. He got a good 3-year deal and then ended up outperforming it and then got paid. I mean, what was it? He ended up 3 years, almost $80+ million. And you're like, how do they even have the money for that? Like that was
the cap is fake. It is.
It's yeah. Fake. And so you look at it like that's what, you know, that's kind of what you're looking at now is what do you do? How do you entice him to leave a situation that would probably offer him, you know, I'm guessing they would offer him a 1-year veteran minimum with heavy incentives. That's just what they would probably do.
What about Chase Young? Like he's the big name on this list. And he obviously feels an incredibly big need the Cardinals have. They do not have a significant pass rush talent. Chase Young is that. He has not, like, I don't know how big the deal he's going to get because he hasn't had the big time production yet.
Yeah, that he has not lived up to the hype, right?
But you see him, like, you watch him on tape and you see an extremely disruptive player. And he was quite good for the 49ers late in the season. So I would say if you're, that's also a guy, if you make a splash, he's a guy to worth making a splash for.
Yeah. And the conversation that a lot of people are talking about with Young is another 1-year deal. You're talking about another, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of those in this next coming years, because so many teams are trying to reset the market. That's been kind of player friendly. I would say, I mean, we've talked about the Christian Kirk deal before, you know, those deals that were a little more player friendly, they're going to try to reset and say, hey, we don't want to pay that and then get screwed. So we're going to go 1-year prove it deals. Then if you perform, you know, get you on a 3 or 4 year deal. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up with a 1-year, $15 million type deal. Like you said, he did have a much better 7 games plus whatever he's done in the playoffs in San Francisco than he had in probably a couple of years in Washington. I mean, you look at it last year, 3 games, no sacks. The year before that, 9 games, 1.5 sack. The 7.5 sacks in his 16 games this year were, you know, tied a career high that he set his rookie year. So that's the thing. And you look at his rookie year. I mean, you just go back to that rookie season. You had 4 forced fumbles, 4 batted balls, 7.5 sacks, 10 tackles for loss, defensive rookie of the year, and a Pro Bowler. And then since then, you know, he's got 9 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 5 passes defensed, and another 10 tackles for loss. Like the production hasn't been there. And like you said, the question becomes for teams and why I think it's going to be a small deal, which, you know, again, could benefit San Francisco. They could really, truly be able to run it back on a one more year type thing before then, you know.
Because they literally can't do anything with Purdy's contract till after next year.
Right, and they're going to have to pay Ayuk soon, you know, and Chase and Kinlaw are up. But like we're saying, like these guys have never done anything, or in Young's case, haven't done anything outside of the 7 games he's been in San Francisco in 3 years. And so I just don't see a team being like, here's 4 years, $80 million, right, which is kind of where the market is. I mean, you look at it, Trey Hendrickson, I believe with the Bengals, right? He got a 1-year, $21 million deal. Crosby of the Raiders got a 4-year, $95 million deal. And then Myles Garrett of the Browns got a 5-year, $125 million deal. So he's way below all of that. And if a team even bats an eye at paying him that for the Cardinals, and if he works out, you say, hey, good job. Great scouting. Cause you can't afford to do that. I mean, we know they've got some money that they can play with, but as a fan, if they came out and gave this guy even the Max Crosby 4 years, $94 million, I think both of us would kind of be like,
oh, this better work.
Yeah, it's like, Monty, you're putting a lot of eggs in a basket that has never held any eggs
like,
before.
Oh, like maybe this is Yale to Froholt again, but only way more expensive.
Yeah, so I would expect both of those guys on 1 to 2 year deals. The thing with Young is he's going to only be 25 this year. So, you know, if you get him on a 1 to 2 year deal, that opens up everything for him. You know, Nick Bosa's 25 and just signed the largest, you know, non-quarterback contract in NFL history, $170 million over 5 years. And from that perspective, you're going to have to look at it and say, okay, If you're young, you can get a 1 year deal, get you to your year 26, and then potentially cash in. I don't think you're ever going to get that 30 plus million. Quite frankly, I don't know if you'll ever get to 25 plus million. But if you can get into the $20 million a year range, you've actually, you know, outplayed what you are now. You know, so again, if you're the Cardinals and you can go, hey, we'll give you 2 years, $25 million with 17 guaranteed. That's a better offer. You just have to wonder if a guy like Young would rather stay in San Francisco and be part of the machine where he's actually kind of played a little bit better and got a little bit better tape.
There's a guy on the 49ers, came in late in the year, hasn't really done much for him, but Cardinal fans should be quite familiar with him, Sebastian Joseph Day. He is an above average interior defender with a little bit of pass rush juice. He got cut late in the year. He had signed a deal with the Chargers after leaving the Rams, just, you know, same stadium. Then got cut. He signed with the 49ers, played the last two games of the season with them, but he had three sacks each of the last two seasons and three of the last four, had between 30 and 56 tackles. He's a very solid guy to have. He would be the best interior defender that the Cardinals would have had this last year. And so anytime, and if you've caught the articles that I've written about the playoff games, I'm like, oh, defensive lineman, yeah, the Cardinals could use him. He would be a nice depth piece, and he would probably be a starter, right? And that's the thing with him, he has been a starter for his entire career, since he started in 2019 with the Rams. He's been a starter for his whole career, so he's already got that mentality. He'd be the best guy on that interior line. And guess what? Even at age 28, he's not going to command major money. You're probably looking at what, $4 to $5 million per year, maybe 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years, $8 to $9 million. You look at it. He signed mid-tier defensive line contract, 3 years, $24 million, with LA. Had a really nice first season with LA. I mean, you look at it, played 71% of the snaps on defense, which was a career high. You know, two sacks, 56 tackles, as you mentioned, 9 tackles for loss, 6 quarterback hits. He had a safety. He had a pass defense. He had a forced fumble. I mean, he just had a really, really solid year one with them. And it kind of was like, hey, we need to build on this. And then, you know, we saw what happened with the Chargers in this season and kind of saw the writing on the wall of like, hey, anything that's expensive and old,
let's just get rid of them.
Yeah, we're moving on. I mean, there was a report today that they're even going to listen about Joey Bosa. So,
Joey Bosa.
So, you know, right. Something for another show. But yeah, I mean, Day would be a nice fit. Like you said, he's kind of the guy that would come in and be the veteran stalwart. Because even if you added, let's just say, for kicks and giggles, you were able to add both Kinlaw and Sebastian Day.
Your defensive line is really pretty solid.
Yeah, and quite frankly, it's $9 million for both of them.
Right.
I mean, you're talking maybe $10 million for both of them. And if you get that, and like you said, you get the upgrade, it's like, whew, that's a perfect fit. The one last guy I would mention is just an interesting one to kind of piggyback on a conversation we've had two or three times. Tashawn Gibson, you know, he's been kind of around forever. I mean,
he's old.
Yeah. If you're not familiar with it, he's, you know, been in the NFL since 2012. You know, he's had a really nice career, and he's been with the 49ers the last 2 years. You know, he's spent time in Chicago, Houston. I mean, he's been all over the place, but he is a better kind of that calming veteran presence that you wonder if, and this is, you know, if,
yeah, this is the if they move on from Buda Baker, if they trade him, you could bring a guy like Gibson in to pair with Jalen Thompson and feel very comfortable.
Right. And you draft a mid round, or, you know, day two mid round safety, and you've got a guy in Gibson that's kind of your buffer just in case. I mean, he played on the, I think this is close to the veteran minimum, $2.9 million. So again, he's not going to cost anything, and he's a guy that, like we said, could be your potential, like, hey, this is a veteran in the back end now that Buddha's moved on type thing. So
I'll throw just a couple of names out, not to discuss, but, you know, guys that could be decent fits. Oren Burks, one of their starting line. He's the linebacker on the 49ers you don't know about, because he's not, you know, Dre Greenlaw or Fred Warner, but Oren Burks is a serviceable linebacker.
He's the good guy. Like, he plays well.
Yeah. He's the guy that you don't know. You know, Charlie Werner, blocking tight end, if they don't want to bring back Jeff Swaim. And, like, you know, they're not going to go after Sam Darnold. But let's move on to the Chiefs. Coming up next on the Res Viewer podcast, Best of Cardinals Talk. Let's look at the Chiefs free agents. Who in Kansas City would be a good fit in Arizona? That's coming up next on Rise of Sea Red. We're back on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, Best of Cardinals Talk on the web. Free agents that are scheduled to hit the market with the Chiefs. If you followed my articles, there are three names that, to me, and Seth had those as well. Three names in particular that have been common. One, which is a pipe dream, and two that, you know, one that is, kind of a pipe dream, and one that's, I think, a really good fit. And Seth's got a fourth guy that actually would be a really nice addition there. Obviously, the big name is Chris Jones. Just a monster. I'm going to turn 30 this next year. So he wants to get paid. He's already been paid once. He wants to get paid again. But he is a monster. Like, there is his production, his ability to get to the quarterback and just absolutely wreck opposing offenses. I don't know if Kansas City will find a way to give him back, but, you know, if there is a splash to be made, you know, you could splash for Chase Young. You could make a big splash for Chris Jones.
Yeah, obviously he's maybe the best non-Aaron Donald defensive player in the NFL. He's had a phenomenal career in Kansas City. And, you know, I think he's ready to make the leap. And a lot of it just comes down to he just wants to be paid. He wants to be paid. And you know, especially if you win a third.
26 sacks over the last two seasons, 35 in the last three. He has three double-digit seasons, five that are nine or more. This is playing from the interior, which is really hard to get sacks from.
Yeah, and so you're looking at probably a similar contract to what Aaron Donald just received, you know, in the three-year, $90 million range because of his age. I mean, like you said, he'll be 30 this year. So if you end up, you know, pursuing him, you have to understand that you're probably getting two more elite years and then hoping to get one very good year, which is still better than, you know, 90% of the NFL, but maybe not as dominant as he is. You know, and that's the thing, is he's made $90 million over his career, and quite frankly, he's looking to double it. He wants to be around 180, 200 million when all is said and done. You know, the projections are about 29 million. So right in line with what I'm saying. And so that's the thing, is like, if you're the Cardinals, obviously he's the pipe dream, but at the same time, it's like, you know, if Kansas City comes in with 3 and 90 and you come in with 4 and 120, you know, and then that could be the difference maker. You just have to understand that you're signing a guy that's 30 and not 25.
You're probably going to regret that fourth year, or he won't make it there, or he'll be bad, and then you eat the last year and you've got dead money. But hey, but if those 3 years are great, or two are special and one is good, you shouldn't feel bad. The not quite a pipe dream that's maybe achievable. I think we're looking at Legarius Sneed, right? They got Trent McDuffie already. This is where we see cornerbacks tend to move on from their original teams if they can. And he's really good, but he's not going to come cheaply.
No, he's going to be in the 15 to $17 million a year range. And you're probably looking, he's probably going to want a 4-year contract. So, you know, 4 years and probably right around $70 million is what the expectation is probably going to be for him. I mean, maybe you can get him in the 3-year, $50 million range, but I'm assuming he's going to want, you know, about 4 and 60 to 65 to really solidify that. That would put him in the top 10 in corner salaries in the NFL, which is what he is. I mean, and the thing with Sneed is that's different than all the guys we've talked about, is this is probably his only chance to get paid. You know, it's nothing to sneeze at, but he's made just under $6 million in his career. He's a fourth-year guy, so he's going to be 28 or 20. He'll play this year at 27, but technically turn 28 during the year because he just turned 27 in January. And so that's the thing is, you know, if you get him on a 3-4-year deal, he's going to want to make it count. He's earned that too. And so,
and by the way, he would fit very well physically, skill set wise, with what the Cardinals want from their defensive backs. So it's not only a talented player, it's a very good fit.
Yeah, it's a great fit and it's a great opportunity. And that's the thing is, you know, the biggest thing that we'll see from these guys that we just mentioned, Jones and Sneed, is if Jones gets something done quickly, they're going to 100% franchise Sneed, and just probably have him play on 1 year franchise deal while they, you know, figure things out, probably draft another corner or something in that nature. The longer the Chris Jones saga plays out, the better chance the Cardinals, or any other team, obviously, but Cardinals-centric, have at getting Sneed and bringing him into the fold. So that'll be the biggest thing to kind of watch in this situation is, does Jones get done early? Because I mean, I'm not going to guarantee you, but they can't franchise Jones again, man. Like, one, the
that would be so ugly. It would get ugly. It would be very... that would make for a bad offseason for the Chiefs.
And remember, Jones legitimately sat out a game this year. So,
yeah,
like,
yes,
this isn't one of those situations where we're just kind of talking. We're literally talking about a guy that was like, fine, I'll sit. And you're like, oh, he means business. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But Sneed, like you said, from a fit standpoint, it would be a home run. I mean, this guy has just gotten better every single freaking year, man. And it's a shame that he hasn't made a Pro Bowl yet. He's the type of guy that, you know, you sign and he ends up making one or two Pro Bowls and you're like, how's this guy not been a Pro Bowler before?
Right, so, right.
That, like you said, a little bit of a pipe dream, but not quite as much. But then there are a couple guys that are realistic. And I think the first one, you and I, it's funny because we didn't discuss this, but I think you and I are kind of in lockstep on this one, is Drew Tranquil, the linebacker, the backup linebacker, kind of the third linebacker, but kind of the backup guy for Kansas City. And, you know, again, similar, you know, you look at it and you look at just the offseason in general and you go, why didn't the Cardinals make a play on that? Was it just strictly because he wanted to play in Kansas City and play with the winner this year? I don't know, but what I do know is this is a guy that the last two seasons, and you had a perfect example, has really stepped up and become a very, very good linebacker.
Yeah, he reminds me, it not only, like, because he played for the same team, Kaiser White kind of grew into a monster productive guy his last year with the Chargers before signing with the Eagles, and now he's the guy. But he was never like the Mike guy. He was a, you know, he was like a specialty cover guy. Tranquil in 2022, 146 tackles, 10 tackles for loss, 5 sacks, a forced fumble, an interception, 4 pass breakups, and then rolled into a, you know, a rotational linebacker and forced into playing time because they've been without Willie Gay. He's been very, very productive. If we look over the last few games, 8 tackles against Baltimore, 7 tackles and a tackle for loss against the Bills, 4 tackles against the Dolphins. And he's a guy, you know, we've already got Kaiser White. If you want to upgrade that linebacker position without, you know, without significant financial, you know, commitment, Tranquil's a guy you can do. You can give him, he probably would go for something similar to the Kaiser White deal, like 2 years, $8 to $10 million, right? And then you've got a very productive, and like if you're talking about the way they play, Kaiser, who plays so violently, Tranquil plays the same way. And
yeah, and very athletic, very aggressive, downhill type linebacker.
And obviously, like I'll say this, like Josh Woods did quite fine in that role. Drew Tranquil is significantly better as a linebacker than Josh Woods.
Right, exactly. And you look at it, and he would be, you know, kind of that fit as – and it kind of makes their linebacker room more, what's the word I'm looking for?
It's robust. They make it robust.
Yeah, and they're both able to kind of play the same way. So there's no real needing of like, oh, you're playing this, you're playing. Like, they can both do everything well. You know, they're not all pro types, but they're both going to be guys. And, you know, similar in the sense of like how the Ravens don't have to rotate, you know, Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen, much lesser extent because Roquan Smith's the best linebacker in the NFL, maybe outside of Fred Warner. But, you know, similar to that with San Francisco, you know, you like you said, you have Greenlaw and Warner and they kind of just do their thing and you don't worry about it. That's what the hope would be for White and Tranquil. There's a couple other guys that we can mention, you know, Willie Gay, the other linebacker, he's much younger. He's been nicked up a lot, though, throughout his career. And they're expecting him to cash in a little bit, which is what my hesitation would be with him. You know, they're thinking that he's going to be in that $8 to $10 million range, which is, like you said, probably $2 to $3 million more than what the Cardinals really want to do. He played the most games of his career this year and then ironically, or maybe not ironically, but unfortunately then gets hurt right in the playoffs for the first time. You know, and then they've got a couple other guys. Mike Edwards is a decent safety. He's played well for them. you know, I don't think this is a name that would be on their radar, but I feel like we'd be doing a disservice if we didn't at least acknowledge. And it's not a guy that I don't think either of us would like either, but Donovan Smith, the left tackle, you know, if you're talking about a 1 year type of deal, isn't that kind of the guy you're looking for? 1 year, $3 million, right? Yeah. Like a veteran, like he was again,
he wasn't good his last couple of years of tack. Like he's the you can rely on them, but
right
tackle.
And so, you know,
and honestly, is he, to be honest, an upgrade over Kelvin Beachum?
Yeah, that's the one thing. But it's also one of those situations where you go, let the old guys fight it out, and whoever's better, you know, we keep. And the other one's getting paid $3 million as a backup. So, yeah. You know, it's a safety net type of deal. But there is one guy that I think could be a sneaky signing, be a sneaky fit, and be a guy that kind of becomes the leader is a strong word, but kind of the anchor of this defense, and would help kind of transition this defense into the next phase. And that's Mike Dana, their kind of edge outside linebacker, pass rusher, defensive end. Dana is only 26. He'll be 26 for almost the full season. He turned 26 in December. So technically he'll be 27 this year. He's looking at probably a 2 to 3 year deal between 12 and 18 million. He might
six and a half sacks this year, 5 the year before. It's like, mind you, 6.5 sacks. Well, he's like, oh, that's not that many. That's more than literally anybody on the Cardinals this year.
And he was doing it in a part-time role, because they have George Karloftis and they do kick Chris Jones out every once in a while to edge. So, you know, there again, could he get re-signed? I just don't know if Kansas City is going to have the resources, much like we talked about with San Francisco. So
right. It's not like they're going to get Chase Young and Michael Dana, but
right.
Dana would be a sneaky, productive signing to add to that, especially he would make a really good rotate, like, start him with Zaven Collins, have B.J. Ojulari, you know, take a step forward and become a Dana-like productive pass rusher this year. And then maybe Zaven can add a little to his pass rushing juice. And then you've got a reasonable, formidable, it's not dominating, but you've got a little bit of a threat from the edge.
Yeah, and that's kind of been what I was thinking, man. I mean, I really like that entire, you know, reasoning and how you went about it, because I think that's what you have to be looking for. I mean, again, we're not talking about a team that is like San Francisco, where you're like, hey, go get Chase Young, we're really close, right? instead, you're like, hey, we need guys that can be part of the next 3 years, that can be part of the building into a Kansas City, San Francisco light.
Right. And like we said before, like, the offense is nearly complete. The defense is so far from complete. So, like, they just need better guys just to incrementally go from terrible to okay, not terrible, or average, or just below average. Like, I think that at lofty expectations for this defense would say that they'd be an average defense this coming season, right?
Yeah, and that's,
to make the leap from terrible to just average would be such a significant difference.
And isn't that crazy to say? You're like, hey, just be average, and that'll blow everybody's mind in terms of expectations. So
yeah, coming up next on the Rise of Seer podcast, Mr. Cardinals talking. Well, let's move on. We're going to talk about picks for the Super Bowl, picks, predictions, and prop bets to make a little money. That's coming up next on Rise of Sea Red. We're back on the Rise of Sea Red podcast. That's our Cardinals talk on the web. We've got the Super Bowl this weekend. Super Bowl Sunday, and everyone's going to be watching it. Everyone's invested in some sort. We believe that most Cardinals fans are rooting for the Chiefs because they can't root for the 49ers. That's not allowed. But you can quietly root for Brock Purdy, and we won't feel too bad about you, as long as you're not actively rooting for the 49ers. There's plenty of anti-Taylor Swift people rooting for the Chiefs. There's even some who have been Patrick Mahomes fans that now consider him the villain because they've been a dynasty. I'm a big Patrick Mahomes fan, and in terms of basic picks for this game, the game picks, I continue to say, why bet against Patrick Mahomes when it's just a bad bet?
Yeah, until somebody beats him, and the other part of that, the other side of that, and I'd love to get your take on this, is why trust Kyle Shanahan until he proves it?
28-3, and then the 10-point lead in the fourth quarter against the Chiefs. That's a very, very good point. Sneakily, and Kyle Madsen, the guy that we've had on the show multiple times that I've had with me, Kyle Shanahan, for as good a coach as he is, he's one of the most conservative coaches in the NFL. For as innovative as he is conservative. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, when you've got the defense that they have, it makes sense. When you had Jimmy Garoppolo playing quarterback, you go conservative. When you've got Brock Purdy, we've discussed the Brock Purdy. What Cam Newton has said, he's not a game changer, he's more of a game manager, because he's like, he's the 10th player, best player in his team. Like, what he's doing in year two is nothing short of phenomenal, and he is an incredibly lucky player. But yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if the 49ers won, but I'm just not picking them to win. And the money, the bets are saying that too. 70 on BetMGM, 73% of the money line bets are on the Chiefs. And interestingly enough, 68 are on the spread, and they're 2-point underdogs. And so there's a little bit of a surge there for the Niners. And we published on the USA Today NFL Wires, all 32, 33 NFL Wire editors, I think it was like 20-13 in favor of the Chiefs. It's that much.
Yeah, and it makes it really difficult, because when the money is coming in on one side so heavily, you tend to find that the other side is the better bet. But this is just one of those situations that, well, one, the 49ers are still favored. I think we need to acknowledge that.
Yeah, understandably so. They are, like, from top to bottom, they are the better team. Like, talent-wise, you line up the quarterbacks, obviously, Mahomes. Like, the core, you'd favor the Chiefs. But you look at a lot of the different, like, the talent at each level, you look at the 49ers, because they have an immensely talented team at every level of offense and defense. But this is a scrappy Kansas City team. Rashee Rice is coming
blossoming.
Along. He's blossoming at the right time. The defense is the best one that the Chiefs have had for Mahomes. And so, you know, a combination of things. I still straight up, I think the Chiefs win this game. And as a money line bet, plus 110, I feel super comfortable making that bet. I don't even worry about the spread, because it's only a 2-point spread. So right. Why not take the plus odds over the minus 110 plus 2? Like with the over, I've got this going over, because the 49ers, their games just keep going over. The Chiefs, their games have been low scoring. They have been. They've just been low scoring. But the 49ers consistently hit the over. And so,
yeah. And it'll be interesting. Real quick, DraftKings has the money line. And so I don't know if you're currently on yours.
I am.
Okay. So DraftKings money line is worse at plus 100. So if you use DraftKings and have BetMGM, take the BetMGM one. You know, we're never about propping up ours
money,
or
guys.
The other.
Right. I'm not getting paid by BetMGM. He's not getting paid by DraftKings.
Yeah, I'd rather, if that's where your heart is, if that's where you want to bet, go to BetMGM, make an extra $5 on a $5 bet, you know, like, whatever. But from that, you know, the over is interesting, because I've never seen it at minus 112. That's kind of a funky number, which tells me that they're not sure. Vegas being them, you know, or the guys setting the lines, right? They're not sure what to make of this game either. And that is probably accurate. They're probably like, yeah, we're not sure. Because like you said, this is as close to one-sided in terms of talent outside of maybe two players, maybe three if you want to be super generous. But I mean, when you look at it, obviously Patrick Mahomes is the best player on the planet, so that's, you know, that is what it is. But from there, you know, you'd probably say players 2 through 5 are 49ers, unless you want to say, you know, Chris Jones, and then which case, you know, okay, so maybe 1 and 3 or 1 and 2 are the Chiefs. But then if you do that, then you're probably saying from 3 to 10 are 49ers. But those two guys, I'm telling you, they make things difficult for everybody. And you mentioned Jones, or you mentioned Mahomes. There's not really a whole lot to say about him, but the Jones factor is interesting. One being that the last time he played the 49ers, I believe he had 2 sacks, and that was against Mike McGlinchey. Colton McKivitz is a much worse right tackle than McGlinchey. So, and the way that they deploy him is you can't chip him typically, because he'll line up head up on the tackle or inside of the tackle or guard, and then you have to double him with a lineman or keep a back end, which is very anti what, you know, Shanahan likes to do, right? He doesn't like to keep Christian McCaffrey in. Why would you? So that's going to be interesting, because those are the two big ones. When you look at this game overall, I struggle with the over only because
I'm really bad at the total. So don't listen to me. I'm terrible.
So am I. So you're getting the worst advice ever. But when you look at it, it's really tough to, like you said, because of how efficient the Chiefs have been in keeping games kind of down in the mud. And we talked about, you know, it's similar, obviously not as good, so nobody freak out, to what the Cardinals were doing against teams late in the season, right? And so if that's the game plan, obviously the Chiefs are a much better team than the Cardinals, so that, you know, you have that too. We've watched Josh Dobbs and James Conner really kind of carve up this 49ers defense.
In fairness, and that was without Javon Hargrave and John Kinlaw. So
yeah, but when you look at it, they've struggled most of the postseason as well.
Teams have been able to run on them, and so they look great offensively, and they don't look unbeatable defensively anymore.
Yeah, which is so odd, because with all the investments, and I did you see the Bart Scott quote the other day? Just about how disappointed he is in this defensive line, like $85 million invested, and this is what you're getting. Ooh. Like, you know, and to be fair, he's kind of right. I mean, they haven't been what they were advertised to be, which makes it difficult, you know, when you're betting, to go, okay, how do I bet this? Because, you know, there are certain things that you look at and you just kind of like. And the first one is, you know, Isaiah Pacheco over 16.5 mm-hmm. yards that feels like money in the bank with the way that he's been running the ball, especially late in games.
Yeah, I do want, before since I've got the Chiefs on the money line, I'm going to look at also at an alternate spread. And I'll take the Chiefs. Just, you know, I'm not going to go crazy. I predicted a 7-point win, but you've got plus 110 on the straight money line. If you want to go, you could go Chiefs on the alternate spread, minus 2.5 at plus 120, or minus 3 at plus 140. And I think I'd be comfortable with betting that alternate spread at Chiefs minus 3 per plus 140 to get yourself a little bit better value, especially if you think ultimately that they're going to win. the downside to that being if you're going with that straight three without the hook there, that you could end up with a push. But I do very much like the over on Pacheco, and I'm trying to pull up the alternate. Where's the alternate?
Yeah, so on DraftKings, 80 plus is plus 135.
Okay.
90 plus
75 plus is plus 110. So that's an easy ladder. You took over 68.5 at minus 110, and then 75 plus for plus 110. DraftKings gives you more ladders. BetMGM right now only has 50, 75, 100, and I'm not feeling spicy enough to do Pacheco at 100 plus for plus 290. That said, I'd definitely go with over 68.5 and then 75 plus.
Yeah, and if you go up to 90, it's plus 235, but 80 plus at plus 135, you know, you got to be very confident in that. Let me ask you this. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire, over 6.5 yards rushing, that could be one carry.
Yeah,
And so that's something to look at. I don't mind. I got to search through my, I've sent my buddy, who is a Niners fan, by the way, I've sent my buddy a ton of bets that I've liked so far. And so I got to go through all of them because it's kind of crazy.
I don't like any of the passing props.
So on DraftKings, if you go to game props, that's why I had to look at it, because it's under there and I don't remember how to find everything, if I'm being honest with you. If you go under game props, there is a prop, and I want to see what it is at now. But there's a prop that is either team, let me see here how they word it. Will there be, it's under conversions. Okay, so you got to go down. It's under conversions. Will there be a QB sneak for a first down or touchdown?
Oh.
And yes is plus 500.
What?
So that's something to look at.
So it was the third down or fourth down? Was just third down or?
No, just any, will there be a QB sneak for a first down touchdown?
Huh.
So that's something to look at there.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. Neither one of those teams are big QB sneak, especially after Patrick Mahomes, his knee, he had the QB sneak where his kneecap ended up at his calf on a QB sneak. Right. Yeah, they're not biggest fans, but that is not a bad one. Absolutely.
And then, the other one that I like is because, like you said, it feels like it's going to be a tight game. There are a couple interesting ones, and one of them is a successful two-point conversion plus 265, but any two-point conversion plus 145. So any attempt is another one to kind of look at that could be interesting because it's not an easy bet by any means whatsoever, but it is a interesting one because teams tend to go for two a little bit more, and that's just an attempt. So, these are outside of your normal, but you got to remember when you're talking about the Super Bowl, you can literally usually bet on anything.
Yeah, they've got so many. It's ridiculous. The receiving props. Okay, so you've got the basic lines of anywhere. So Travis Kelce 7.5. That's not a great bet at minus 125. Rashee Rice minus 115 for 68.5. But if we go, let's go to the 75 plus yards, for the alternate, and I like Brandon Ayuk at 75 plus for plus 130. That might be my favorite one of that group.
Yeah, like you said, this is a tough one because one, a lot of the strength versus strength stuff is difficult. From there, you have different ones to look at. I'm more into on this one looking at the other guys. So one of the other guys that paid out last time for me, that I would look at would be Kyle Juszczyk. Alternative yards at 25 plus is plus 475. That could be two catches for Juszczyk. And
yes,
and the way that this game flow works, that could be something really easy to hit. I'm seeing if they have receptions. Here they are. Okay, I found them. Receptions. Both guys I like, both other tight ends, Justin Watson and Noah Gray, over 1.5 receptions. Watson is a little longer odds, minus 105. Gray's at minus 115. And then the other guy, Juwan Jennings. Jennings at over 1.5 receptions is plus 120.
That's easy. Because Jennings has been come up big.
Yeah, he's been a very big target for them, and he makes, you know, it seems like two or three plays a game for them that are huge in the reception department. So, you know, those are just some ones that are a little different because, like you said, like Travis Kelce over 6.5 receptions at minus 166.
Yeah.
That's terrible. It's terrible. You know.
Well, that's because literally of all the, like, Travis Kelce props are going to be going crazy, so.
Right. And then the other ones are, they do have some first quarter. Oh, I like that. I have not seen. See, the Super Bowl, you get even more stuff. It makes it more fun. There are some interesting ones. First quarter, Brandon Ayuk, over 13.5 yards, plus 105. And then Justin Watson, over 3.5 yards, plus 140. So that's just yards. That's not reception. So, again, like last game, Watson actually got a target on their first drive for a touchdown, and it just was incomplete. It was actually a poor throw from Mahomes. And so it was one of those situations where it's like, you know, putting a little bit of money on something like that where he gets one catch is really, you know, not a bad thing. I wanted to mention for me, went the wrong way, sorry, rushing props real quick. I think both quarterbacks hit their over. Purdy's at 12.5. Mahomes at 25.5. Purdy last game obviously went nuts. I wouldn't trust him or expect him to do it again. But if you're feeling froggy, his ladder up to 25 is plus 320. So double that 12.5 at minus 125. And, you know, again, I'm not sure what they have on BetMGM, but that is an interesting one. And if you think he runs for over 50 yards again, by golly, that's plus 1,000. And I highly recommend if you think that's going to happen, I think that, you know, that's a great way to make a lot of money on Super Bowl Sunday.
I think honestly, both of the, like, Brock Purdy longest rush over 8.5 at minus 120, that's an easy one.
Love it.
That one's a really easy one. I do want, like, on the touchdown scores, these are guys to throw a little change at because of the value. Two guys I like, Justin Watson plus 650 anytime touchdown.
I love that.
And Sky Moore, just off of IR, plus 700.
Yeah, I like that as well. Both quarterbacks, too, at plus 425 and plus 550. Mahomes, 425.
And all on the San Francisco 30. Side, Juwan Jennings at plus 650 also.
Yeah, and he's plus 700 on DraftKings. So, But I love that as well. Juszczyk's plus 750. We mentioned it, you know, with him and his catches. Noah Gray's plus 850. So again, another one. I don't think Mecole Hardman's the play this week. I don't think he's going to get the opportunity, but you never know, obviously. So those are good. And then an interesting one to keep in your back pocket, George Kittle is plus 1,200 to score two touchdowns. McCaffrey is plus 210. That's terrible value. We've talked about this 100 times. But Pacheco's plus 450 and Kelsey's plus 500. But Samuel, Kittle, and Ayuk are all right around that plus 1,000. I know it's usually chalk, but man, those aren't bad odds, like you said, just to sprinkle a little bit. And then Kelce plus 2,500 on 3 touchdowns. Again, we've talked about the Kelce phenomenon, obviously, but the reality is too, he is probably the greatest receiving player in NFL history in the playoffs. All that dude does is produce in the playoffs.
He surpassed Jerry Rice. To give you some context as to how productive in the playoffs he's been, he's passed Jerry Rice.
Yeah, he's legitimately absurd. So if that's something that you think about, again, nothing to throw a lot of money at, but just a little, you know, you're like, hey, you know, throw $10 on here to win $250. Like, and you know, if I have a reason to cheer for Travis Kelce, and then I get paid to watch them go to Taylor Swift, you know, like, I'm not going to complain about that. So.
All right. With that, we will wrap up this edition of the Rise of Syria podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on web. We've gotten you a solid hour of nice content about the Super Bowl, some about the Cardinals, some to make you some money. We'll be back again next week with Cardinal-centric stuff as football season will be over. It'll be officially be over, and we'll be everyone looking at the offseason. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Roop. This is the Rise Up Sierra podcast. Talk to you guys again next week.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sierra podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, rise up, Sea Red.
Rise up! Rise up! Rise up!